Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, an award-winning service of CUTV News. For year after year after year after year, CUTV News has been leading source in the United States, Canada, and around the world for one-on-one interviews with some of the leading experts, entrepreneurs, executive and leadership coaches, artists, performers, you name it, from just about every walk of life. We have an opportunity to really learn about our guests in an in-depth way as they share their wonderful stories with us and their experiences and their skill sets and their successes. Very empowering, very inspirational, very motivating guests that we seek out, our team at CUTV News, to really showcase and feature in a wonderful way here on our program. And we're very excited to welcome somebody who is joining us for the very first time for a kickoff of a two-part series with us here exclusively on CUTV News Radio. Her name is Diane Hogan, and we are jealous of Diane Hogan because she is in a beautiful part of our country. She is in Colorado Springs, Colorado right now, where she tells me there's no humidity and it's nice and it's in the 70s, and of course it's beautiful Colorado. That's where she's based, and we're welcoming her to the show. She is really somebody who is incredible at what she does, and we're going to talk about her company, which is A Step Ahead Adoption. That is a adoption consulting service that helps potential parents navigate the many challenges to successfully adopting a child for permanent placement. Founded by Diane Hogan, a mother of two adopted children herself, A Step Ahead Adoption has helped more than 1,000 families successfully adopt babies and children in the United States. Did you know that each year about 135,000 children are adopted in the United States, many from private domestic agencies? Now, these agencies are driven to serve the best interests of the child. So if you're looking to become an adoptive parent, they're going to evaluate your mental, emotional, and financial readiness. It's often a long, arduous process fraught with profound emotion. But they must know unequivocally that you can offer a healthy, loving, supportive environment for the child. There are a lot of pieces to the puzzle to be successful through the process, according to Diane. Their job is to be that guide on the side to walk you through this process so you don't get overwhelmed and you can focus on the task ahead. They find this a very helpful resource for adoptive families. Once considered something to be kept secret, today people are in awe of adopted parents, for folks who are doing the adoptions. It's tremendous. It's no longer hidden. It's no longer swept under the rug. It's no more kept secret. People are in awe of adoptive parents. Now, when she started the company back in 1999 by herself, she didn't really know if it was going to be anything more than just a hobby. She thought if she can just help a few families in her community, that would be fine. She'd be happy with that. 17 years later, their corporation with 10 consultants working nationwide. She just stepped through each door as it opened. That's what she did, step by step, at a paced way of doing it. Really proud of that achievement and what they've accomplished. You know, if you would like to learn more, we'll mention this at the end of the show as well, but the website is tremendous. In preparation for today's show, I was going through the website for A Step Ahead Adoption. The website is www.astepaheadadoption.com. Let's welcome our very special guest expert, Diane Hogan, founder of A Step Ahead Adoption, to our program. Diane, it's a real pleasure and honor to have you with us on the program today. We're looking forward to speaking with you, and we welcome you to CUTV News Radio.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I really look forward to sharing stories of how this all began and where we are now and how happy families are with this very unique, almost like a boutique piece of the adoption business out there.
I am fascinated by everything that you are going to be telling us in doing the research, as I mentioned, in advance of today's broadcast. Would you say, or it could have been maybe even prior, but maybe this sort of confirmed it or was what pushed you over the edge to really do it, was it adopting your own children that put the spark in you and the drive and the motivation to want to create your company? Because coming from sort of that background of walk the walk, talk the talk, been there, done that, can relate, I understand the trials and tribulations, the pitfalls, the good, the bad, the positive, all the emotional aspects. Was it through your own experience that got you to say, gee, I would love to help others through this daunting process too? Or did you already have a fire burning prior to that?
No, absolutely. It was the personal experience. And when I am talking to prospective families, that's really how I start out. I said, this whole company was born out of my husband and I, our personal experience with adoption. We have two adopted children, came through what is known as a private domestic agency. Domestic in the world of adoption means in the United States. So while we do educate and guide families a little bit about the foster to adoption programs and the international programs, that's not our strong suit. Our strong suit is understanding the private domestic piece in the United States, because that is exactly what my husband and I did. So when we went through the process, there were no consulting services at the time. Our first adoption occurred in 1995, but that was after what is referred to as a failed adoption in 1994, where the birth mother chose to keep the child and parent the child, which is her right, and we knew that going in, but still when that occurs, it's just a shock to your system. It was kind of a shock to us emotionally, mentally, financially. And so after that experience, our agency basically said, well, these things happen. You'll just kind of find a way to get back up on the horse. And my question to them was, okay, who within the agency has kind of been there, done that? And the response was, well, nobody. So while the agency was run by a very accomplished and licensed social worker with an attorney who was also licensed in adoption practice, none of them are from what is called the adoption triad. By that, you're going to hear that term in adoption a lot. A triad is considered, if you visualize a triangle, the adoptive child is at the apex or the top of the triangle. The birth parent is on one side and the adoptive family is on the other side. Thus, the three of us become the triad. So there was no one in that organization that was an adoptive parent, a birth parent, or an adoptee. And I just thought, oh, well, I guess that's just unique to my particular agency. Fortunate that at the time there was a very large adoption support group in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we lived, and went back to those wonderful people to get my solace, my guidance, and my, you know, get my feet back on the ground, figure out what I'm going to do next. We were successful adopting a child in 95 and went back to that agency again 3 years later to adopt our second child, once again having a failed adoption before we adopted our son, Kevin. I was like, oh, my goodness. But this time I was more educated, more savvy, more prepared, got through it a little bit easier financially and emotionally because I knew what to expect. But it was after that second experience that I thought, you know, really there needs to be somebody that the adoptive parent can turn to where they feel that they can have that soft place to fall, that person that's walked that walk, like you said, understands where they've been and helps them through the process. And that was really my personal experience, was the impetus to just starting to help people very personally. And then it just sort of, I guess the word is, exploded on me. So clearly, like all entrepreneurs, when you find a need and you have a product or a service that can fill that need, away you go. And that's exactly what happened to me.
beautiful story, and the fact that you took all of that and decided to move forward and you know, be able to empower people and guide and assist people in the way that you do, I think it's amazing. So you're not the agency, of course. You're not where people go to actually apply for adoption, but you're sort of
correct.
That shepherd. You shepherd them through the process. You sort of advise and sort of help them through the process. Tell us a little bit about the difference between the two so people really get a good flavor for it.
Sure. So we refer to domestic adoption in the U.S. being either a traditional approach or a non-traditional approach. So the traditional approach is still used a lot by families where they choose a law firm or they choose an agency, they sign with that entity, and they wait for their child to come through those doors. The restriction on that, of course, is that that agency or that law firm are only licensed in certain states, and so they can only practice in those certain states. So they must wait for a birth mother or birth parents to come to them and say, hey, I live in the state of Florida. I want to place my child through your agency, which is licensed in Florida, and I'd like the adoptive family to come from anywhere in the United States. I might want them to be childless, or I might want them to have two horses, or I might want them to have other brothers and sisters. So they can prescribe, if you will, to that placing agency or that attorney what they want in the adoptive family for their child. That agency then, if they are what we would call a traditional agency, they will have a waiting pool of families. Conversely, only those families in their waiting pool would be able to look at that situation and be considered by those birth parents to place the child. With our service, we decided long ago to reach out to the very small to medium-sized law firms and agencies who maybe either don't keep a waiting pool of families, or if they do, it's so minuscule that they really need a bigger resource or a bigger cadre of families. So while we are not licensed to place children, we work with 30 agencies and 15 law firms with whom we have developed personal and professional relationships, who then contact us and say, I have a birth mother seeking to place a child. Here's what she's looking for. We then look at our database of families and go, oh, well, family A, B, C, and D meet her criteria. Let me present the situation to her. So it's to those families. So it's more of a non-traditional approach. So that way, that agency or that attorney still licensed to only place in their state, but now they can look beyond their confines and look at a broader pool of client families that may more succinctly meet the demands or the requests of that birth parent and find the best fit for that child.
That's tremendous. Now, 25% of adoptions don't actually work out. Is there a lot of tempering expectations, keeping them braced for disappointment?
Yes. So we say that our greater job, actually, Jim, is to manage the expectations of the adoptive family. That's why we named our service A Step Ahead. So we do try to keep our client families a step ahead of what is going on in the adoption process. We do educate them, handhold them all the way through the end of the legal process, which concludes in something called finalization. And so that process kind of can take anywhere from, I would say, 6 months to a year and a half. If it takes more than a year and a half, we generally say, well, that's because our client family has chosen to be very picky, which is fine. But most of our clients are parents in less than a year because we do manage their expectations. We do teach them, we guide them, we mold them, so to speak, into being a very appreciative and well-informed consumer of adoption services.
Now, the birth mother, as you mentioned, obviously is entitled to change her mind. And when they do, for the prospective adopted parents, it can almost be like, I would imagine, you know, almost like losing a pregnancy. The situation,
correct,
fraught with so much emotion. You know, you're excited, you've got your hopes up, you're planning, it's just one of the most incredible experiences on earth. giving birth and adopting, all of it, both, it's just they're phenomenal experiences. Are you also supporting them emotionally when that period happens, where the birth mother is entitled to change their mind? And for the audience listening, is there a period of time up to a certain point where a birth mother can change their mind, and then after a certain point they can't?
That is correct. So it is very state specific. So one of the jobs that we do, and it's primarily my job to educate and keep current with my consultants, is to understand the laws in every state. There is no universal adoption code other than what is referred to as the Interstate Compact for the Placement of Children, and we can explain that separately. But generally speaking, in each state, there's a different set of state laws that oversee when a birth mother can do what's called revoke her consent. So for example, I will once again use the state of Florida. You can take placement of a child 48 hours after birth in the state of Florida, and that placement is what is known as irrevocable, meaning even if it's a week later, because she signed away her rights and she relinquished her parenting criteria, then that is not a revocable consent. In the state of Pennsylvania, for example, you may take placement of a child 24 hours after birth. However, it is revocable for up to 30 days. So within that 30 days after the child's birth, if the birth mother changes her mind, the adoptive parents know right up front that they have to release the child. As a result, most of our client families do not want to adopt from states where there are long periods of revocation, because it just makes it more emotionally fraught and scary. But yes, we stay with our client families all the way through that process, and while they go to travel to take placement of their child, the way our business protocol reads is we are available to the adoptive family 24/7 during that period of time they are out to take placement of their child, because that's what I needed. I needed to be able to have a touchstone during that period of time. My agency was not necessarily available after 5 o'clock in the evening. And when you're dealing with babies, things happen. Babies don't know the 8 to 5 time clock. And so if something happens at 10 o'clock at night, the adoptive parent has a lifeline back to their consultant to say, hey, my child is projectile vomiting, what should I do? Well, now our response would be go to a doctor, but at least they have someone they can turn to give them some guidance and some advice.
That's tremendous. And beyond, of course, the emotional challenges, what would you say are the tangible challenges that couples face when looking to adopt? I mean, obviously, this is not going to be a puppy mill where you just pick out the cutest puppy. It's a very, very involved process. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So tangibly, very first thing that we tell people to do when you're anticipating wanting to step into the world of adoption is to ask yourself 5 questions. What is the time frame that you want to be a parent? What is your budget, or do you have a budget? You should, but they don't even realize sometimes that they need a budget. Are you gender specific? Are you race specific? And do you have any travel restrictions? Some people, for medical reasons, maybe cannot fly. And so signing up, let's say you live on the East Coast, and signing up with an agency or a law firm in California might not be your best decision, because your only efficient way to get there would be to fly. So there are some very tangible questions you need to ask yourself and be honest with yourself. Beyond that, you need to come to grips with infertility. So if people have spent many years and many dollars on trying to do assisted reproduction and they've decided, you know what, I am done with this, they may be shocked to find out that their discretionary income has been depleted by the many attempts they've had at assisted reproduction. And then people come to us and say, okay, I want to be able to adopt a child, and then they're shocked when they hear what the cost of adoption is. And the traditional cost that I tell people is plan on upwards of $30,000 for an adoption. People think that's ridiculous, but I say, you know what, if you were birthing a child and you didn't have insurance, between the cost of medical care for yourself, medical care for the child, and then postpartum care, you would probably spend upwards of $30,000 on yourself. So why wouldn't you spend that or the care and treatment the child that you're going to adopt. And then they're like, oh, okay, and then they back off. So there's some real financial situations they have to look at, as well as they have to look at their emotional readiness to take that next step.
Absolutely, absolutely. I understand, you know, as you say, it can be expensive just to pay for the services to adopt a child, is it not?
Correct, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you have to take into consideration, now most birth mothers will have some form of insurance, whether it be Medicaid or private insurance or perhaps affordable health care, but so you're not really spending on the birth mom's medical care, but you are assisting her with counseling. You are assisting her with transportation to get to the hospital, to get to the counselor. You might be needing to assist her with daycare. So let's say she's already parenting a child and then she has to go into the hospital. Who's going to care for that child? Maybe you need to pay for someone to provide respite for her existing child. So there are expenses that a birth parent incurs that are directly related to her pregnancy, to her adoption plan, that can also be shared with the adoptive parents, in addition to the cost of the agency, the law firm, the legal fees, the case management fees. So that's what increases the cost of the world of adoption.
Now, how does one navigate a situation where the birth mother changes her mind very late in that process? I know we touched a little bit upon that just a moment ago, but can you sort of lay that out a little bit further for us?
Sure. I'm actually dealing with one of those situations right now, Jim, so your question is very timely. So what I do with my client families is I try to make sure that they know, first of all, what the law is, and then secondly, understand the emotions of a birth parent. You are dealing with a woman who is not only highly hormonal and emotional, but she may have situations in her life that preclude her from being able to provide the best parenting for her child. But in the nth hour, if extended family steps in, or we talk about a spousal relationship develops, and she sees a way to parent her child, it is her right to keep and take care of her child. And you, the adoptive parent, have to just move on and say, okay, we did the best that we could to provide her care and support. And you can't be angry about it, even though it's normal to be angry. But you can't be angry at her because that is her right. Or if they are a couple, that is their right. But what we try to do is we try to look what we call flags or the risk factors. So, for example, if you have a teen mom and she's living at home and she's not got the ability to maybe parent by herself, but with her family's support, she can parent, we might say to an adoptive family early on, while this looks like a great opportunity, bear in mind, she's got the capacity to keep and parent a child. Conversely, you're looking at a woman who might be in her late 20s, maybe she's parenting two children, she had an unplanned pregnancy, the birth father said, oh, I really don't want to be a parent. He moved on. Now she's having a hard enough time feeding two. Here comes number three. She's in a socioeconomic situation where she might have a better chance at making an adoption plan successfully. So you look at the socioeconomic factors that are impacting the birth parent and help the adoptive parent decide whether or not this is a good situation for them or maybe too risky. And everybody has their own level of what they can accept as a risk. So we don't sit here and tell you what you should or you shouldn't do. We just lay out all the pros and the cons so the adoptive family can make the best decision for their situation.
What is the point of no return? Is there a point of no return that is eventually reached?
Are you talking about with the adoptive family or with the birth family?
With either, with both.
Okay. The point of no return with the birth family is what we would call when it gets to the irrevocable consent. So when you get to the point as a birth parent that, and there could be folks listening that are making a decision to place a child, and so where is their point of no return? Once they sign their paperwork that says that they intend to release the parental rights, then that would be what I would call their point of no return. For an adoptive family, it usually becomes a financial decision. At what point have we financially exhausted our discretionary dollars? Because there is a point for everybody where enough is enough. Sometimes we can see that because we're here to assist the adoptive family, but we can see that, okay, this adoption is very expensive and the risk is you could lose 50% of your money. So let's say the adoption is $30,000, and if it were to fail, you could lose $15,000. That's a pretty significant loss. And so we try to mine that on the front end, and we try to say, okay, if this were to fall apart and the birth family were to choose to keep and parent their child, you could potentially lose $15,000. Are you in a position to do that, yes or no? If the answer is no, then it's pretty simple. Then don't submit to be considered for this situation because that financial risk is too high for you. But some families will continue to just go there, maybe not make the best decision. And then at some point, it's just we are at that breaking point where this is senseless. Why do you keep doing this? And that's where they have to make that personal decision to stay the course or to let go. I always tell people, if you stay the course, you always become a parent. I've never seen someone not become a parent. But if you choose to walk away, then, of course, you've closed that door, and that's perfectly all right. Maybe you've found another avenue that you prefer. Maybe you prefer to work with a gestational carrier or do a surrogacy. Maybe you prefer to not be a parent and just pursue a career life. That's perfectly fine. It's okay. But if you stay the course, you will always be successful.
What would you say is maybe you can even share, I know next weekend you'll be back with us and you can share wealth more, maybe a success story with us.
Sure, absolutely. So one of my favorite stories actually was about a family who had been pursuing assisted reproduction, believe it or not, for 12 years. And so when they came to me, they were in their early 50s. And they had been unsuccessful for 12 years. They're hardier people than I, Jim, because I wouldn't have done that for 12 years. And they said, but yeah, we're in our early 50s, and I'm not sure we're going to be successful. And we've been turned down many, many times. Would you work with us? So I said, you know what a birth parent really is looking for is an active lifestyle. Tell me a little bit about what you like to do. So the wife was a former preschool teacher. And the husband had formerly run his own financial advisement company. He had retired, and so he was fully at home, and she was still doing some preschool teaching. So they had the lifestyle that was going to be great for being able to be hands-on parents. She knew about teaching children, so that was a positive. They both loved to hike and to walk. They lived in South Florida. They loved to go to the beach. They loved to take trips to the mountains. And I said, you know, I really think you sound like an awesome family. I'd like to give it a try. Well, shortly after they were able to jump the hoops to get legally ready to adopt, and that probably needs to be either a conversation we have during this call or our next, they were chosen by a birth mother in Arizona. And they took placement of that woman's child about a month after they were legally able to adopt. They were chosen. And they were just thrilled and happy and said, we only want one. We're going to be delighted with this
yeah.
one. And yeah. came home and about a year later called me and yeah. said, we're a little bit in shock. The birth mother has been back in touch with our law firm. She has another unplanned yeah. pregnancy. This would be a biological sibling to our child. What should we do? I said, well, it's
wow.
up to you, but that's pretty incredible. So the end of this story
yeah.
is, Jim, they are getting ready to adopt the third child of that birth mother and their last, they assure me.
Wow.
But they came to me broken with no children.
Yeah.
Now, 5 years later, they're going to be parents of three.
That is so wonderful. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful story. We're talking with Diane Hogan of A Step Ahead Adoption. Go to her website, asstepaheadadoption.com, to learn more about how she may be able to help you or somebody else you know. Diane, thanks for joining us on the show. I can't believe the half hour flew by so fast, but you'll be back next week, same time, and we definitely
yes.
look forward to that. And thanks for sharing everything with us thus far on the show. We appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did today.
I sure did, Jim. Thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to talking with you all again.
Thank you very much. Special guest, Diane Hogan. Jim Masters here, CUTV News Radio. For all of us here, thanks for listening. Have a great day.